We read from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." We pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and these are the people you would have hear it today. I pray for them. Strengthen their faith by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, Christ is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Alleluia. Drop your phone once, it's an accident. Drop it twice, it's a bad day. Drop it three times, you say to yourself, rightly so, "I am a klutz." God gives us a sense in our human psychology, not the sense that you personally are a klutz, even though that may very well be the case. The sense is that groupings of three is the smallest number that can give us the impression of stability. Something happens once, it can be random. Something happens two times, that could be coincidence. But three is a trend. A trend we expect to continue. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Talk about a trend. This was after Jesus was arrested when he would be crucified. Peter said, "I don't know the man." He called down curses on himself if that statement wasn't true. He realized what he'd done when the rooster crowed because Jesus had predicted all of this just hours before, and he weeps bitterly. Now, several days after Jesus' resurrection, this exchange takes place based on markers in this text in reference to that denial of Peter. And from it we learn, sin is personal, but God's grace in Jesus is abundant. Jesus serves up to Peter, subtly to us, but not to Peter, the confession of sin that Peter could offer for what had happened during Jesus' passion. Jesus says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Meaning, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Right before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said all the disciples would stumble in their faith because of what would happen. Some translations say would fall away because of him. Peter, at that moment, steps up and says, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." In other words, Jesus, I love you more than all these other disciples love you. So when Jesus asks if Peter loves him more than these, Peter, with his response, is acknowledging, confessing, if you will, his sin in that moment of arrogance and pride and boasting. How does he respond? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. There's no more than these this time." Peter is recognizing his own weakness and putting himself in the mercy of Christ. Now, Peter didn't just break a rule when he denied Jesus. He denied the Lord. It was personal. And that's clear to us in that case, but what might not be so clear is that that principle applies across the board. Sin is always personal. What is the summary and epitome of the law? It's love. Therefore, any breaking of the law is a misdirection or a failure to show love, certainly toward God. But here's the thing. God has baked his law into our human existence. You could say he's woven it into our human existence. So when you sin, you're twisting this fabric of the law, and someone else gets the rug pulled out from under them. You students, think now about your future spouse who could look back at your indiscretion in college or the way you're shaping your character right now and say, "Didn't you love me? Why did you do those things if you loved me?" Think about your parents, who, for all their failings and sins, no doubt, have made you into the person you are today. They might be helping you through college. Think of the people you'll serve in your career, other callings later. Looking back at your minimal effort sometimes and saying, don't you love us? Think about the person you pity and make fun of, who will someday stand in glory, commended by Jesus for their faithfulness. And they'll say, why didn't you love me with your words? And Jesus will come up and say, yeah, inasmuch as you didn't show love to this person, one of the least of my people, life marred with lowliness, a lot of fodder for the butts of your jokes, why didn't you love them? Because you didn't love me. It's personal, people. And I just referenced the judgment, and on your own, you stand on the wrong side of it. But the thing is, to stand on the right side of the judgment is also personal. It means having a connection to this loving, personal Savior, Jesus. And in him we find abundant grace. Look at how he restores Peter. Do you love me? You do? Feed my sheep. Take care of my people in the way that I, the good shepherd, am taking care of you right now. First thing to notice is Jesus would not put someone as his representative if they weren't forgiven. This is as much reconciliation for Peter as it is reinstatement as an apostle. But notice the second aspect. When is Peter grieved? It's when Jesus gets to the third question, because Peter knows what he's doing. He's not only referenced his arrogance from Maundy Thursday, but the betrayals that followed. But Jesus, blow for blow, matches betrayal with grace. The third time is rounding out that third denial. And Jesus is saying, if you would think that two denials could be forgiven but not three, you deny me three times, and three times I have enough to restore you. Jesus' faithfulness is far more abundant than our betrayal and lack of love. The suffering that gave him the wound still in his glorified body was more than enough to vent God's righteous judgment for our sin, and we are free. This is also the way God deals with you. Now let me play liturgical nerd here for a moment. Actually, I don't have to play, I just am one. But I don't care if your family hasn't been Lutheran until today when you walked into chapel. The spiritual ancestors we have in the Lutheran Church have given us a great gift. Many gifts, but one of the gifts is the divine service, this Sunday communion service. And why is it such a great gift? It's because it's specially crafted for people like Peter, and to do what Jesus told Peter to do, to feed the sheep, to give people what they need. I bring it up today because for its many variations and the different cultures it's been passed through, generally it always has three parts. And each part is a confrontation of sin and an application of God's grace. Part one of the service of preparation, confession and absolution, return to baptism. Part two, the service of the word. We confront the living God through his living word, and we're convicted of our lack before him, but we're also confronted with our Savior, the atonement for our sin. Part three, the service of the sacrament, we receive, we are fed with Jesus' body and blood, uniting us to him, and therefore reconciling us to him. Three times, there's a deep part of our human instinct that walks away from that saying, I must be forgiven. Once could be a coincidence, or once could be an accident from God. Maybe he slipped in his speaking. Two could be a coincidence. Three times, this must be the kind of God I have. So come, you who mourn the trends of your life, and ask Jesus, do you love me? And we, the successors of Peter, sinners forgiven but called to feed the people, we answer, yes, 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 amen. Please stand for prayer. O risen Lord Jesus Christ, give us boldness to approach your throne of grace with our many sins, see in you the end of their shame, and leave professing our love for you and ordering our lives according to it. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.